want to say this one thing, is that we should find every moment to worship Jesus through song. We understand that our lives are worship epicenter, but there's one thing that we can do corporately together, and that's singing about the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus. And it might be something very difficult for people to worship about an hour, to say like, yeah, that was long. I feel like I need just a break. But can I submit to you something? If I've eaten and somebody invites me to come and meet them at another restaurant, I'll be very critical of whatever they can be serving there. But to a hungry person, everything goes what they will serve to you. I want to say to you that when we come to the house of the Lord, let's come hungry. Let's come as people not familiar with what we are used to. Come on, if we cannot get stuck to say that we've worshipped in a time like in a certain structure, in a certain genre, let's step beyond that. We hear because of Jesus. I want to say that very unapologetically, that we are, when we come together, there's power as what we sing together. And it's not just something that we sing and it's we are filling this place with a gospel genre. We come here because we understand that God inhabits the praises of His people. If you find yourself in a place where you feel downcast, you feel overburdened, you feel tired, you feel, I don't know how you might feel. You might even have a jump in your step. Just sing to God. Find time to sing to Him. If you don't know what to sing, sing your own song. Most people say, I don't know that song. Well, sing your own song to God. Scripture declares, sing to the Lord a new song. The best thing that you can do, the Bible says in Zephaniah 3 verses 17, that God rejoices over you with singing. As if you are seated here right now, God is singing a song over you. Do you understand that there's a sound in heaven that God is singing over William, over Moses, over Dion, over Sean? And that song needs to be heard, and I can echo it back with my life as I sing my praises back to God. But as soon as I just get stuck with my understanding about how worship should be and shouldn't be, I miss the song of heaven. That's why the angels can be singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we think like, yes, do they sing that all the time? If you read the literature, it speaks about, I don't know what you call it in English, the trappe van vergelijking. The what? We don't compare ourselves to nothing. But there's like, you go from one place to a next place into another place. And the more you see something about God, the more you experience something new about Him. That's why we can never get tired. We cannot become tired in singing to Jesus. And this night, obviously, we want to start off and we're going to speaking about having a clean heart, a pure heart and clean hands, clean lips before the Lord. But do you understand that we can come and just get stuck sometimes at this one place, and without us knowing it, we become modern day Pharisees. We come to the temple of God and we criticize who we like and who we don't like. How we think it should be, it shouldn't be, because of my own understanding. And what we can do is we miss what God has placed in front of us because we've become familiar with what we understand. You see, if you study Israel, there was a time where they needed to carry the Ark of the Covenant from one place to a next place. And there was a time where they needed to carry it, and the Ark of the Covenant started to wobble. And one of the Israelites, when they stood closer, they just helped the Ark of the Covenant not to fall over. And when they helped them, God disliked it. And He cursed the person. Because you cannot help the presence of God. in your own strength, in your own manner, I cannot produce something. It is God who comes to me. That is the mystery. David writes, Psalm 24, it says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Only those with a pure heart and clean hands. We miss that so many times that we first want to stand at the altar and then repent. You must repent before you come here. Because as you come in, you can do that with a clear conscience to worship the Lord freely without limitation. The writer of Hebrews writes and says that you should stay away from things that trip you up, that easily ensnare you. Stay away from those things. Because Jesus makes this statement, Matthew 5. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. How many of you would love to see God? Like 7 people. I want to say to you that your next encounter might just be on how clean your heart is before the Lord. I want to quickly show you something. Who says I wanted to ask you? I did chat to William before I started, but he doesn't know. There's 3 glasses of water that's right here. In all count, it's not rocket science. But there's a twist. All is filled with water, but all is not filled with the same water. See, one is tap water. Another one is bottled water. The third one is toilet water. It's going to get very interesting right now. We're going to test William's discernment in this night. Is your medical aid up to date? If something happens. Okay, we just want to know. Debit order went off. Okay. But see, to the naked eye, everything looks the same. But if you go and you put this water under a microscope, it would tell a very different story. You see, at the outward appearance, we come and we come to church with our Christian demeanors. In church, we can say the loudest, hallelujah, yes, glory to God. Praise Jesus, all these wonderful sayings. But the scripture says that God doesn't look to the outward appearance of men. He looks to the heart. Standing in front of the Pharisees, Jesus says to them, you worship me with your lips, but your hearts are very far away from me. You see, many times we come to church, and while we are in service, we're already thinking about what we'll do after the service. It's being in front of somebody but not present with him. Have you ever spoken to somebody and they're on their phone and they are not listening? I've had that rebuke many times from my wife. So I said, yeah. And she's like, no, you're not listening. And vice versa, when I speak to her and she's busy on the phone, then I just keep quiet. And she's like, no, you can speak. I can multitask. I'm like, no, I'm not going to compete with the phone. I refuse to do that. Because in the presence of God, in worship, you find that people are still on their phones, fiddling with hands in pockets. We've got this amazing privilege to come and worship Jesus together. And we do that as I come in. My life is the living sacrifice. I forget that what I'm saved from, that's why I lose the fear of God. I do not fear God if I just come and I treat church just as another building. Far be it away from us. We're praying for revival. God will revive that which He can trust. Revival starts and ends with people. That's why nobody has successfully handed over a revival to a next generation. Because it gets stuck with one person, and then we start applauding it and saying, because God is moving on one person, the person becomes the movement. That's why we can get stuck in church, whoever might be even preaching. That is the movement. Do you know that's called idol worship? Paul writes and he says, why are you fighting over Apollos and over Paul and all these things? One plants a seed, another one waters it, but it's God who gives the increase. See, when it comes to the purity of our heart, we don't measure it in like the ways that God measures. God uses a very different measuring stick. Your measuring stick might be who speaks the most fluent in way, who's got catchy sayings. Did you feel the anointing? Rabakaba. But there's three different glasses here. And many times we get stuck because all of them contain the same substance. But one of them, well, we live in Pretoria, so the other water, the tap water, I don't know. But one of them is definitely not something that you would give to somebody. And if you've met somebody who's drank like tap water that became sick, they will tell you, stay away from this water. How much more when we are coming into places where we are not dying to ourselves, where everybody's waiting for William just to down that water. When we come into those places where the scripture is very clear of the consequences of what an unsurrendered life looks like. And yet we still do that daily. I feel that I've got the right to be offended with somebody. I feel I've got the right to be angry with Francesca. I don't like you. I don't know. Can we be much bigger than that by becoming lower than that? Choose your weapon. Are you sure? He says it looks the cleanest. It doesn't make it the cleanest. That you taste. Everybody's waiting for you. I must say, I did flush the toilet 2 times, so you're safe. Just take it. Which one do you think it is? Which one is the filthy water? Like chlorine, okay? You want to drink it? Try, I'll tell you. We'll just hope Richard put them in order like what I did. Otherwise, it's going to be a very interesting evening. Take a sip. Drink it. They all are cheering you. Tap water. Okay. Which one between these two would you also drink? Don't look to the outward appearance. Trust your instinct. Obey your thirst. Try it. What a man. Bottled water. Okay. Can I mention something at that place? If we understood the consequences of what our lives might look like after what sin does to us, we'll live very differently. when we start to examine the consequences that if I drink something, I'm either going to start vomiting, I'm going to get stomach aches, I'm going to start feeling weird. You'll be very careful not to engage in certain things. But because we have lost the fear of God, and we see because nothing happens to us, we think God's okay with me because there's no immediate consequences. We understand that Jesus paid the price and He saved me from sin, but I really understand from what I'm saved from. Do I understand that what the blood of Jesus did for me, making me clean before the Father? Because I understand that I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. But do I remember that it starts with Holy Spirit? That I get so angry, I get irritated, I feel like I've got the right to do certain things. And I lose out from that what God wants to do in my life, through my life. The bottom line is none of those waters is actually toilet water. Thank you, Jesus. But I was this close. What am I trying to say? How would you live if you knew the consequences of every decision you make? Will you live differently in every moment that I would carefully examine myself against the word that is a mirror? That when it says don't go to bed angry, that I don't actually go to bed angry. That I allow the Holy Spirit to use the word as a mirror in my life to say that, hey, sort out that. Stop doing that. Make peace there. Stop doing that. Please don't say this. And the more I start leaning into what He says, the more and more the grip of this sin that tries to ensnare me loses its hold on my life. Thank you, William. What am I trying to say? You must clap for me. He was a very brave man. I really wanted to do the wild card, but then I thought, yes, sir, that will be gross. Now I need to stick my hand in the toilet. I'll not do that. So why am I saying what I'm saying? Because listen to this. God wants to put His fire on us. I'm a person, weekends, I love to braai. Okay? I'm a very simple man. It's the simple things in life that gives me a lot of pleasure. But listen to this. Proverbs 20 verses 27. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Listen to this. The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of his belly. Some of you have got bigger parts to search, but it's there. I'm also getting there. Everybody is like a candle, but it doesn't mean everybody is lit. When Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit blew like a mighty rushing wind into the upper room. But He didn't come in fire, He came with wind. Because the word wind there is the word ruach, which is breath. He didn't come in fire. When Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit, the fire was already the spark inside of them. And that spark just needed wind to fan something into flame. You see, some of you are not out, you just need wind. Some of you have grown cold in your finance, not the people you associate yourself with. You haven't been close to the fire. Do you understand how God likens Himself? He likens Himself to most things in the Word, to two things, fire and light. There's something about the fire of God that He wants to pour on people, because the way that you are right now would not be the same way when you start burning. Burning in your school, burning in your workplace. Most of your neighbors might not even know that you're a Christian. You're too ashamed to speak to somebody about Jesus. Interesting story. Can I tell you something? We lived next to, maybe they're in the live stream, you never know. There's a Muslim family that lives next to us. Now Fridays, you know it's Friday. Then we hear sounds like na 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 na. It gets very interesting. So my children always ask, "What are they doing?" Because it gets very interesting. Now school holiday times, you hear sounds because it doesn't sound like words. It sounds like somebody's getting hurt. It's just how it sounds. Just saying. And while this is all going on, there's been times that I can also step outside and I start praying in the Spirit. Because I'm not going to be ashamed. If every Muslim shop closes on a Friday that people can go, stop business as usual and pray, every Christian is without excuse. Then Sunday is not your shopping day. Sunday is not your sleeping in day. It's because you don't understand the fire of God that you are unashamed. Why are we ashamed of Jesus? If people say, "I'm sick," "Oh yeah, I hope you feel better." No, pray. You can do absolutely nothing about it, but Christ in you. Give Him room to move something in your life. Some of you are facing things in your life and you feel boxed in. Open your mouth and pray. Start lifting and say, "Lord, I refuse this space. Set me ablaze. Lord, I pray my house will be filled with angelic presence. I break the spirit of heaviness. I break insomnia over my house. I will sleep in this house." But some of you, when we can't sleep, we're just on social media. We just scroll. Do you understand that you are entangling yourself and then we are self-medicating ourselves? It's like, have you seen people Googling symptoms? You can say, "I've got a stomach cramp with a pain in my knee." Number one search, "You've got terminal cancer, stage 5. You're like, "What?" I read somebody posted actually something now, and it struck me. They said, your ear is your body's womb. What you listen to will give birth to whatever you listen to. That's why faith comes by hearing. You need people around you to challenge you. That's why if you're married, there's always somebody that challenges you, and it's amazing. But my question is, who are we listening to? Because we need a fresh baptism of fire. You know, it's a beautiful thing about it. Nobody can do it for you because His name is Jesus. He says He will baptize you. He's the baptizer. But when last have you been with Jesus? To make your heart soft, to make our hearts pliable in His hand, to listen to what He says. And even when He says nothing, I still sit with Him. That's the beauty of Jesus. Most of us, we sit in a generation where we need sound. Most of us, we can't even spend time without your phone. You can't spend time with God without your phone. If you are sitting in front of your employer right now and you are having a discussion about your, I don't know what, either a raise or a bonus coming up, will you sit with your phone and just... "Oh, yeah, yeah, no, it's fine. No, yeah, I'm hearing. Yeah, I've done my work. Yeah, yeah, no, I'm hearing what you're saying." Why? You fear man. But we've lost the fear of God. That when you are in the presence of God, people would walk out of a service and say, "No, my phone is ringing. Let me just..." Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to set us ablaze with a burning light. Listen to this. So what does the fire do? Most of the time we think fire makes us enthusiastic. It does not. There's many people who are very enthusiastic in church, but they are not burning. I want to say that again. You can be hallelujahing the loudest in this place and we can start applauding and say, "Yo, Aiden, yo, that man is carrying fire. Did you hear him? He's interacting." And we miss because we judge by the outward appearance. But when he leaves this place, who is that man in front of God? Who's that woman in front of God when nobody's seeing? See, my response when I get home, do I just want to relax. I don't want to have anything to do with church. Can I say, the Lord rebuked me a while ago. And he said to me, don't treat. He obviously he spoke to me in Afrikaans. He said to me, moenie gewoond raak aan die huis van God nie. Don't get used to the house of God. Because even though I work here, I also church here. And here's the difference. Work is always work. But when we church, we church. What that means is when I come here, I don't just come to give. I also come to receive. Because if I stop receiving, I make myself the Pharisee and I make myself the standard. Everybody is lower than me. And I lift up myself in my own eyes. You know who that sounds like? It sounds like Lucifer. What am I saying with all that I'm saying? Scripture declares the following. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 4 verses 24. It says, the Lord your God is a devouring fire and he is jealous. He is so jealous that he will frustrate your life to get your attention. Some of you are feeling, I rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus. And God is busy frustrating you to get your attention. We think sometimes frustration is something that just that the enemy sent. God frustrated the Israelites many times. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. Do you think you'll be frustrated eating the same thing day and night? My children would eat pizza every single night if I gave them the opportunity. I think until one moment, if they eat that every night, sometime, somebody would say, can you please just make stew or something like, I don't know what. But many times we come and eat from the same thing and we get used to it. I want to say to you, God is so jealous. Just want to step down. Thank you, Maya, for leg day. It's so important that we keep this fire. When John met Jesus in the book of Revelation, he says, I look and I saw fire in his eyes. Some of you have never experienced the fire of God before. The fire of God, you know, when you burn your hand, there's a response. When Moses encountered God in the burning bush, it was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. To get his attention, to go and look. Some of you have experienced a call from God, calling you into greater intimacy. You've been hearing these words washing over your heart. Come here, but you never go. And God is calling for the attention of people. I'm going to say to you, I'm challenged more than ever. More than ever. That I don't know how many of you sense this, but God has done something completely new. The problem is if I start judging the new, comparing it to the old, I'm already an old wineskin. But God did something, we need to sing the old hymns because he can't do it. No, God uses those old hymns, but my heart's posture is an old wineskin. I don't want to move because I don't like change. Well, God changes. Many times, but he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and that, but he never does the same thing over and over again. One day you speak to the rock, another day you can strike it, you'll get the results, but it doesn't mean God is pleased with you. Some of you feel like your devotional life has dried up. It's like a withered tree. It's because you've been doing the same thing over and over and over again, trying to get a different result. You know that you sit in one place and you're going to put on a worship song. Have you ever tried sitting still and just listening to God? Not saying anything. I just listen. Man, you can upgrade your whole house to be like this prayer temple and not be connected to God. It's the honest truth. Save that money. Close your door. Speak to your Heavenly Father. Make sure that when we get to God, we treat Him not just as our Father, which He is, but He's still God. We cannot lose out on the fear of God thinking that we'll get away with certain things. And I'm not speaking doomsday things. I'm speaking about understanding the holiness of God in reverence and fear of God. Bible says very clearly, it says New Testament. We think God is very nice in the New Testament. He is. But there's one scripture in the book of Hebrews that says, what a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's not okay to be okay with things that God is not okay with. And you already know what He's not okay with. You can't justify it. I'm not here to tell you what's right and wrong. You understand that Romans 9:1, Pastor Shannon spoke about it this morning, that the Holy Spirit speaks on your conscience. Give the Lord space in your conscience to speak to you. If you know you shouldn't be stealing from work, then don't do it. Don't steal their time as well. Okay, thank you. Like three people. Okay. That pen that's there on your desk that they bought, it's not yours. Leave it. Staplers, paper clips. Okay, let's not go into all the stationery. What am I saying? I'm saying that God is calling for people to walk in uprightness. Daniel 11:32, coming in for a closing, says this, those who know their God shall be strong. Your strength firstly lies in knowing God before you do the great exploits. Because the great exploits is a gift. You will not one day stand in front of God and say, yeah, Richard, you were such a well-spoken servant. Great. Wow. Wow. God will not do that. Because God examines to what is given you. Did you use it to get to know Him? Because everything is a gift. My breath in my body is a gift from God. My wife, my children is a gift from God. This church family, being in this church, is a gift. Because not everywhere it's the same. We take this for granted. Spoke to somebody last week. They said, no, they went to a church 2 weeks ago. Almost lied. It was 2 weeks ago. They said they joined the church. They can't be here anymore. They relocated. And they were spoiled in this church that we could go for an hour. Sometimes we would just worship the whole service. They came to a church and they needed to worship for 15 minutes. And they're like, that's the first song in our church. And he's like, okay, but how can we change it? I'm like, you're not gonna change. I'm not gonna speak to your pastor. That's his own thing. But many times, we are so spoiled until you don't have it anymore. You don't know the presence of God has left you in the way that the anointing of you lifts in the area until it really lifts. Samson thought he can do the same thing without the empowerment of God. You all know the byproduct. It's not that his eyes got plucked out. That was the end of the story. He was blind way before his eyes got plucked out. He was blinded by sin. Blinded by your own nature. Most of us, we are so blinded about what we believe God is saying to me that I'm actually so close to being deceived. Okay, that was a story about another. I know people. You also know people. So what am I saying? As I was praying this afternoon, I felt the Lord said, I want to blow on people in this night. I want to blow on people's lives. It's not that you are burnt out. There's no flame. You just need the wind to come and blow in you again. You know what it happens? Because fire purifies. Fire purifies. It's interesting that if you study gold. Now, I'm not a goldsmith, goldsmith. All the English things. Thank you, Pastor Shannon. But they consider 41% gold fake. that's like the baseline. They say, that's officially gold. I saw this afternoon. I'm like, yes, sir, that's interesting. And then there's a few ways that you test if gold is true. The first one is if you start pouring vinegar on gold, it would actually start changing color. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, being crucified, was given vinegar, pure. Second thing that you do is you throw it into water and immediately it sinks. Third thing that how you test it with, obviously, is through you see on gold will always be written what is the, what do you call it? The carat. 24 carats. My children don't eat carrots. But you can write on jewelry something until you start refining it and testing it. The fourth one is you use a magnet. See, if things from the world start drawing you in, it means you are not pure as yet in that area. We forget that Jesus says, if you love the things of this world, you can't be my friend. Most of us, we are so infatuated by what we can get in life, the houses I can live in, the money, the affluence, the status. But I've made myself a friend to this world. What am I saying? Leave all those things? No, but use it to serve God.